This is the WBAI Local Station Board Local Finance Committee meeting. My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the WBAI Local Station Board Treasurer, and I chair this meeting. So, here we are right now, and what we have to do is the first thing we have to do is approve an agenda. So, we are going to do that right at this very moment, and I'll just take care of some things here. All right. I move that we adopt the following agenda. One. Call to order, 7 p.m. We're close. Somebody's knocking things around next to their phone. Would they please mute themselves or not knock things next to the phone? One, call to order, 7 p.m. Two, approval of agenda, 20 minutes. Three, identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. Four, roll call, 2 minutes. That'll be the formal roll call. Five, excused absences, 5 minutes. Six, approval of the minutes for the June 18th and July 16th, 2025 meetings, 5 minutes. Seven, treasurer's report, 20 minutes. Eight, WBAI manager's report on WBAI's finances, 60 minutes. Nine, set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 10, new business. 11, adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Is there any debate or questions on that motion?
Paul, could we stop that extra noise, please?
Yeah, let's see about the agenda first, and then I'll deal with it if it keeps up. Are there any questions or debate on the motion to adopt the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda that I've just read? Hearing none, it's approved without objection. Next is identify timekeeper.
I'll do it, Paul.
That's Jeffrey Stern?
Yes.
Okay, Jeffrey Stern says he'll do it. Is there any objection to Jeffrey Stern doing it? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern will be the timekeeper. Okay, next item is the roll call. This is the formal roll call. This is the roll call that determines if you're here or not. Okay. Ah, God. You know, sometimes the mouse gets away from me. Okay, I'm going to do the roll call here. This one counts. Please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
I'm here.
Zach DePalma.
Thank you, Paul. This is he.
All right, Noel Jameson.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Matt Mazza.
Here.
Carolyn McIntyre. Allie Murphy.
Here.
Serene Roberts. James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Michael D.D. White. M.K. Williams. Okay, that is seven, and right now that is a quorum. So we have a quorum. Okay. All right, and I have to do this little thing that we do. Did I have that? Okay. 1 second, I have to do a little beeswax right here with something I need to call, and I didn't load it up before. Okay. Let me write that down. Put in a time for it. Okay. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI Local Station Board that, for the Local Finance Committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the Local Finance Committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board, unquote. Is there anybody here who is not a member who wants to tell me their name so that they can become a member of the committee?
Mario Mastandrea, I think it's my second meeting now. Or is it?
All right.
I go on again.
Okay, Mario, we hear you, Mario. Anybody else? Anybody else want to become a member of the committee and their and give me their name so I can become a member? Okay, that's probably it. I hear nobody else clamoring. Okay, next we have excused absences. And
yeah.
We have at least one.
It's not on.
Hello?
No. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know who said that. Okay, excused absences. And I know we have at least one person. So let me go. You know, let me go check because maybe somebody got it in under the deadline and we haven't gotten it yet. It looks like not, though. Nothing there. God, how many times is it going to try and check? Oh, it's going through everything. It's not supposed to go through everything. Well, that's a drag. All right, it's done. And there are no new requests for... Okay, so I move to excuse the absence of M.K. Williams, the secretary, because some of you may have seen this. She posted to the mailing list that she and her husband were in a traffic accident, and they had a car crash, and they are both in bad medical condition, and so they're not going to be able to make this meeting. Well, she isn't. He does. But anyway, so Kay isn't here. I move that we excuse her absence. Is there any debate on that motion? Is there any objection to passing a motion to excuse the absence of M.K. Williams at this meeting? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Let's see. The next thing is approval of minutes. And we have minutes from June 18th and July 16th. Do people want to I'll make a motion. If somebody wants to postpone or something, they can do. So the 7:16. Okay, I move that we approve the minutes of the June 18th and July 16th Local Finance Committee meeting minutes. Okay? Any debate on that motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing that motion? Hearing none, the motion is passed, and we've approved those minutes. Okay, the next item is a treasurer's report, and I'll be giving that in a second or two.
Paul, it's Mario. I have a question and a point of information, I guess.
On what?
Being that the secretary's not here, should we have a secretary to record or whatever the meeting?
She has said that she'll be listening. She will listen to the recording since Otis is here, and we're streaming. We're going to have a recording, and so that'll be fine.
Okay.
She'll do
all
it
right.
For
that. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Let me go up here and click on that and get the time going. All right. Getting documentation regarding WBAI's finances has been an issue for some time. I've brought this up at NFC meetings for months, and the executive director said she'd send me the WBAI bank statements. She finally sent them to me in late July. The bank statements are only for the WBAI checking account at Bank of America, and there appear to be some pages missing. In addition, people are named in the bank statements, so it's not something that should be made fully public, in my opinion. I appended the totals from January through June 2025 for the treasurer's report that I rendered to the last LSB meeting a week ago, and I have sent an upgraded copy to the committee's mailing list and to the LSB today. So I've sent that out to people. There's information missing, but there's more information there than we would otherwise have gotten if we didn't get that. So there's that. The executive director is creating a standard operating procedures manual for Pacifica that covers a huge number of topics. Pacifica had a draft standard operating procedures manual in 2008, and I don't think it ever got beyond the draft stage because I couldn't find anything after the first draft. So that's, 17 years ago. So I don't know. If she can get all of that stuff written down and approved, that'll be a very interesting thing. Could be very useful. The executive director also wants to do a Pacifica-wide inventory of all of the assets of Pacifica. Oh, I wish that had been done years ago. But yes, it'll be good if it finally gets done. And at the August 12th NFC meeting, we went over to Pacifica affiliates' budget, their worksheet, for their proposed FY26 budget. And then the National Finance Committee discussed the KPFK monthly income statement for the 9 months ending Monday, June 30th, 2025. And I found it interesting that KPFK has an income statement through the end of June, but WBAI does not. The last thing we have in terms of an income statement is the consolidated financials that end on September 30th, 2024. So, the folks at KPFK have a lot more financial information about their station than we have about ours. Also at that meeting, the executive director said that she'd send the latest accounts payable to the National Finance Committee. As of now, I still have not received it. Maybe I'll get it sometime soon, but not at this meeting. So KPFK has an income statement through the end of the third quarter of FY25. WBAI doesn't, and I'm going to see if I can ask why this is the case, because it's very, very strange business. Now, I sent out that email earlier, and it was sent out at just before 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and The subject is WBAI Bank Statements, October 2023 through June 2025. Now, part of the thing is that it says October through, you know, June of 25. The October 2023 bank statement is all zeros. So I didn't bother to put that into the email I sent to the mailing list. And going over it, there are pages missing, and I have had to fill those in with pieces that I find in the statement. And we have that, and I've sent it out to everybody. This is the best we can do at this point in time. This is what they've sent me. And I will note that, for instance, for example, the account summary for April 1st through April 30th of 2024 is missing. And so what I did was I copied down total deposits and credits and total withdrawals and debits, and I put that into this little email that I sent out. Otherwise, we generally have account summaries that the bank puts out, and they have more information than what I've just read on most of the months. So everybody can take a look at that and see what it looks like, and I don't know if we're going to discuss that at some point or not. But there we go. And again, I cannot say much about this particular thing because, you know, this is all I'm seeing. I don't see the checks or anything like that. All right. The next National Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, August 26th, 2025 at 8:30 p.m. That meeting will be held by teleconference, and that is my treasurer's report. Now, is there anybody who has any questions or comments on the treasurer's report? I'll take a stack.
Mario?
This is Jack. I have a small question, Paul.
Okay, we have Mario, we have Jack. Anybody else have a question or comment on the treasurer's report? Hearing none. Okay, Mario, go ahead.
Well, based on your report, to me, it sounded like, to you, I mean, this is my opinion, it sounded very perplexing, and the way that they sent it to you, and I have to say that that was pretty much done on purpose, and if they don't straighten it out, like, within a week or something, then that really leans towards that, and just kind of like, you know, kind of lowbrow, you know, stuff and just more jumble, you know, something simple, cut and dry. It's interesting. You put names on there, then you know you can't discuss that. So that's basically, we didn't get anywhere. That's it.
Well, I have to say, it isn't like we didn't go anywhere, period. We got a little something. It isn't what we need. We need more. But we got a little something, so it's not absolute zero.
Oh, wait, Paul. Was the loan that's still outstanding?
That's not in it. This is just the bank statement, the checks.
Okay.
All right.
How come the
loan
is not in it?
Jack DePalma, you have the floor.
Thank you, Paul. According to what I've been hearing, you're not really a member of the National Finance Committee any longer, but maybe that's the reason why you're not getting full information.
No. What happened is the hijackers wrote up a rather stupid hijacking set of bylaws that eliminates the position of treasurer for all of the local station boards, besides also making the local station boards have no power to do pretty much anything at all anyway. So we were sitting there, and they were announcing this, and then they made a motion that came out of the PNB, or that was going to the PNB, that the treasurers, the 2025 treasurers, as they referred to us, become special consultants or something like that. It's written down somewhere. It's in one of the treasurer's reports about this. And basically, we're there to give information. And when I start talking about things, sometimes they don't want to hear it. You know, I basically bring up, like when I suggest that maybe they fix the typos in some of the new secretary's minutes, they get rather PO'd at that. At least one of them does. And so, they don't want to hear from us until they want to hear from us. But they hear from some of us anyway. And so that's the situation. And I'm not allowed to vote on it at this point in time. I am hoping that this ridiculous hijacking set of bylaws gets struck down at some point. But for the moment, no. In fact, the chair of the PNB was at that meeting, and she said she disagreed with taking the treasurers out because the treasurers obviously have a connection to the station, and it can be a special connection to the station. Plus, there's more than just one treasurer who's been there for a while, so there is institutional memory there, which I got to say, the New Day et al. People lack. And so, yeah, the treasurers being there can be a valuable thing, but right now we do not have a vote on it, so it's a very messy situation, in my opinion. Does that explain it?
Well, I think you answered it well.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Yes, Marco. I have a question.
Okay, who's I?
Jeffrey. Let Allie go first.
Let me make a list here. Okay, Allie Murphy. Who else wants to say something?
Jeffrey Stern.
Okay, Jeffrey Stern. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none. Allie Murphy, you have the floor.
Yes, Arpo, thank you. You, at the beginning of your report, you were saying that I guess it's the hijackers or the PMB or the director that they wanted to know. I guess they're going to have, what do you call it? I forgot the word, but it's like to know how much the foundation is worth.
The asset. They want to know the executive director wants to have, the assets looked at. She wants to make basically a census of the assets, which is a good idea.
It's a good idea, but, you know, being that these people, they're hijacking the whole foundation and all the things that they're doing, I'm a little bit concerned about them knowing about the assets of the whole foundation, especially of WBAI. So we should be concerned about that, I think. And I do have another question. I could come back. I have another question, but, you know, Jeffrey Stern could go on. I will come back. Can you put me back on the list, please?
Why don't you ask your question at this point, and I'll answer both of them.
Okay. You were saying that KPFK has more financial information than WBAI. And why that should concern us? Can you explain that? Excuse me. Can you explain that to us? Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the assets, it's a good idea. And the fact is, WBAI doesn't have a whole hell of a lot of assets. Although we may discuss a little bit of that later on. And so, you know, we rent, and that's about it. So there isn't a lot that's going to truly affect WBAI. And so I don't think it's going to be a bad thing. I wish some years ago there had been they determined what the assets were when we had more. But they didn't, and so some stuff is vaporized. Yes, some of our assets vaporized. As for KPFK, yeah, they have, as I said, an income statement. We don't. So there's a big difference there. It would be very good if we had that. Income statements at one point were monthly or close to monthly. And that was pretty good. That's back when we had NETA being essentially the CFO for Pacifica. And they got information and they put it out. And, you know, because that's the way a regular organization would work. They would have a monthly income statement. And after NETA left, Pacifica started not being able to produce those. And it hasn't been producing them since then, at least not monthly. That's why I was kind of surprised when KPFK showed up with theirs. And I think we got to find out, you know, is anybody else going to get these? How did they get one? How did they get a monthly an income statement that covers the first three quarters of FY25 when we've got zero like that? So this is a question that is something I plan to bring up at the next NFC meeting. Okay, so I think I'm
Mario to the stack. Mario to the stack.
Hold on. Wait a minute. When I take a stack again, you can get back on. Right now, yeah. Jeffrey Stern, you have the floor.
On that issue that we just discussed, why can't we make it clear that we need it? Why can't it be done by our directors to get them to give us a profit statement that's just getting in? Why can't we get that? Why can't they push you?
Well,
and secondly, well, we have another problem. I don't know if you know this, but the CBB is shutting down. No, because they're not getting more federal funding. Is that going to require? Are we still going to have to do the audits for California and spend that money?
Okay. The CPB shutting down. I know about that. Yep, it is. It's going out of business. It doesn't affect us because we got Pacifica got thrown out of the CPB about a dozen years ago. So it doesn't affect us in terms of Pacifica having to give an annual financial report. That's what the audits are. In California, yes, it has to be done because everything that's operating has to produce that. We're Pacifica's nonprofit. As a nonprofit, it has to produce the annual financial report and file it with the Attorney General of California. This is mandatory for anything. So yes, we have to keep doing that. But okay, as for them giving. Pacifica giving us the something fell out of my ear. One second. As for Pacifica giving us a income statement, I'm going to ask them to, you know, why can't they do that for us? We'll see what they say. We'll see what happens with it. Okay.
Maybe bring it up when the general manager talks to us about why it's not happening.
Yes, we can do that. We'll see what he says about it.
Okay.
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 Anybody else for a further stack?
Mario.
Mario. Anybody else? All right, Mario, you have the floor.
Well, you guys just touched on what I was going to bring up is. You have the executive director's name is her name. First name is Stephanie, right? Is it Stephanie?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, the executive director, she made an announcement card that gets played about how the government and the administration is taking away this and that. And this is what I mean. You have a whole network of BAI of people who know pretty much what's going on. And then the director makes an announcement saying, well, you got to help us out. They're taking the money away, but we're not eligible for any money. So not from them. So I understand that there's a meaning of it. They're trying to ask for money a certain way, but it's not congruent. It's not logic. You know, I don't know why they don't talk logic when it comes to the finances or asking for money. They do things like you know, they're trying to like do some psychological ploy or something, or and meanwhile, if you're sitting at home and you go and you're in the know, if you care, and you attend these meetings and all of that, and you go, but we're not eligible for any money. So that kind of tells you what the game is, and it's a game, in my opinion. Now, I just thought of something. Well, if you want to hide or you don't want to out where money's coming from, you don't put it in the report. Oh, gee, you know, the machine lost the ink. Oh, it's a little blurred. You didn't get 3-4 pages. And then they could say whatever they want. Oh, we made $100,000 last year, was donated. And then you look at the report, and there's only like $65,000. So why would they do that? In my opinion, that's because you don't want to say and report where money actually really came from. That's all. There's no thievery going on, but in a way, the first thing that, you know, truth is the first casualty. And I keep saying this. There's money floating around in the network, in Pacifica, and they're paying the bills. I'm not talking about asking for more money. Great. If you can get more money, great, wonderful. I'm not talking about that. And what I'm saying is not to discourage that. I got it. 10 seconds. There's money. I see bills getting paid. Then I hear that money comes in. And then when you say, okay, where did it come from? Oh, there's this vagueness. Because the network makes more money than what it's claiming. And that's really not legal. You have to report it the way it really is.
Okay, Mario, that's more than that 10 seconds you wanted.
All right,
okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right.
Time has been called. Unless somebody wants to make a motion to... unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend the time for this item, we're going to go to the next item. But before we do that, let me go back to the attendance and make sure I call everybody. Is Carolyn McIntyre here? Is Serene Roberts here? Is James Sagerton here?
Serene Roberts is present. Can you hear me?
Ah, okay. Is James Sagerton here? Is Michael D.D. White here? Okay. All right. So next we have WBAI management's report on WBAI's finances. Mr. Henley, you have the floor.
Great. So I am, pardon, I'm on the train. So we may be interrupted because cell service isn't that great on the coastline. There are several things that preceded my report that I'd like to address. But let's talk about what's in the bank right now. There's $65,000 in the bank and about $4,700 in PayPal. That total of $65,000 is significant because we just made a tower payment thanks to the generosity of Stephen Berhout. And so we are only 1 month behind, and that was a $17,800 contribution, which he made to Pacifica, and he was reluctant because of his feelings about the past track record. And so he had made a gift of $12,500 for our rent, which he gave to the Seeds Up landlord rather than to Pacifica. And that was about 4 months ago. And so we showed him what we had done since, and unlike several people on this call, he has confidence in what current management is doing. And so we were rewarded for that effort with $17,800 some odd dollars. And we have paid, of course, our salaries, and this is the 13th month that WBI has not had to rely on the larger organization and made it self-sufficient, and also our $10,000 insurance payment. And so that's fairly significant that we now at least have two payrolls in the bank. We run about, depending on the overtime involved, this summer it's pretty heavy because we do have to cover the hours worked by the union engineers. And we have actually improved that situation because Lee Jacobs is now a member of the union. We were paying him very erratically and outside New York State labor law and outside in violation of the contract, which is something else that has improved. And so we now have actually five union engineers, and we're probably going to improve on that. We also have the commitment and a contract from the United Federation of Teachers for $14,000, which will be paid in $3,500 increments every quarter, and that will be a sustaining contribution. We've also been able to get, I don't think there's been one union that hasn't asked to reauthorize their sustaining contribution. I collected $5,000 on behalf of a program we're doing on 9/11 and the World Trade Center program. You may have remembered, I don't know what you listen to or what you don't, but last year we did a breakthrough documentary about the gap in female health care because of the way that the 9/11 World Trade Center program missed thousands and thousands of reproductive cancers in women. And so we'll be doing that again. So that looks like that's going to be an opportunity where a number of unions who see us in an editorial leadership role on that topic. We are still in the process of working through Health and Hospitals Corporation is approaching us and working up a proposal to do PSA to encourage the immigrant population to continue to use the Health and Hospitals Corporation clinics and inoculation services. There's tremendous concern, as I'm sure you all know, in the immigrant community. And so there's public health officials are concerned that this will have consequences for not just the immigrant community, but for the community at large if people go underground and don't seek medical care. We're also just today did a live broadcast. Actors Equity is today in New York City had a national event to try to set the stage for what it promises to be some difficult negotiations with Broadway producers as they try to get and negotiate a multi-year contract. Let's see what else. That's about it for me. I mean, I do think that I heard some concerns raised about or aspersions cast on Stephanie Wells making the cart. I think it's important to understand that we are involved with the affiliates, and I know this group is very much concerned about only BAI, but since BAI is part of the much larger organization and is now, this is another thing this group doesn't seem to recognize, in the leadership, PSA, PFW, all the other stations, and even with the affiliates, the affiliates are very much dependent on Corporation for Broadcasting. And so the point of that is to support public broadcasting in general. And it's not necessarily to make a pitch for BAI because it's not meant to be cute. It's not meant to be crafty. It's to articulate something that is affecting all of public broadcasting. Indeed, since we work, and again, I don't think you guys listen to what we're doing, so I'm talking about things that, you know, like we decide a two-hour program we do that already involves dozens of affiliates. We're developing relationships with those affiliates who very much need to make up for the public broadcasting money that they're losing. And if they see BII as a place where their editorial content can find an audience, then we enhance the network. So anyway, I'll take questions.
Okay.
While the signal still hangs on.
Okay. Let me go first here. Yeah, you know, you're doing a number of good things, and that's good. I'm glad, and we haven't, and there is the fact that we haven't had to ask anybody else for payroll and all of this, and I agree that that's an improvement. And yes, you're doing good things, and we're glad to see that. So you shouldn't say everybody in the committee is, you know, knocking the place all the time. The question we got about CPB was affecting WBAI directly, and yeah, those smaller stations, which tend to be the affiliates, they're getting hurt because CPB is going away, and some of them are probably going to go away too. One thing I wanted to ask is, now I know that Pacifica Management manages to handle most of the finances, really. That's my impression, anyway. Do you think there's any possibility we could get an income statement out of that, maybe to cover through the end of June, the way KPFK got?
So what we would have, so you have to understand that we do not write. We're still in a kind of colonial state in that we do not write checks. And so what we do is dutifully deposit. I have no problem, and I'll ask Chris to do it too, to create a monthly list of the deposits we've made that identify particularly the larger checks that are coming in from unions. I have no problem with that. One of the things I think you have to understand is that we're relatively small staff compared to the other stations. And I know that, believe me, with this crowd, I understand there's no sympathy for our problems. But there are not a lot of us. And no, they're not. There's just not a lot of us. And we're doing a lot of editorial work to revive the station that is not appreciated.
Well, I need to step in here and say, yes, it is appreciated. I wish you would stop, you know, slapping a not nice brush of paint on the entire committee or individuals in it. We are wanting WBII to survive. And since you're the interim general manager, we need you to be the main guy doing that stuff. And you are doing better than previous situations.
Well, so does that work for you, though? Does that work for you if Chris, because what I'm trying to do is do things that we could do locally, and it would not be a problem to, for instance, you should always know there's $24,000 of recurring income every month from BAI buddies. It's gone up a little bit. That is something we could do. We could give you the and there's been an uptick. I think it's now over $25,000 since we've had that generous gift of the $500 per month BAI buddy who came on. So I would be glad. That's something we can do locally. And, you know, so this month buddy income was X, and this much came from unions. That's certainly fair. That's something we can do.
Oh, that's okay, yeah. My main thing is you're in touch with the executive director about BAI's finances. Now, I'm wondering if you could suggest to her that, you know, the national office produce an income statement for WBAI.
So, and the other thing, too, is that there's still, we now have gotten some clarity. There are clearly now, there were a couple of years at least where they were not invoicing for at least the subcarrier thing. And we're in the process now of coming up with the exact number. But there was hundreds of thousands of dollars of lost income because it was not invoiced. And so that's another thing that we're, you know, we are also in conversations that the income that is generated, because there is one pay, the Italian subcarrier is paying monthly. And I think we've won our case that that now should be applied directly to BAI, and it should go to the tower, even if it's partial payment. And then we're also coming to a head with the outfit that hasn't paid. And so we're in the process now of coming up with communications with them to say, this service we just, you either pay up some kind of past arrearage and commit to going forward, or it will be turned off. Because the truth is, as Jay Glantz has told us, the subcarrier does, although it's not a lot, does diminish the power of the signal if you're making revenue. But if you're not, it's not. And so that would need to be terminated. So I'd expect to have a progress report on that in the next time. Well, I guess it's, when is this next kind of local finance board meeting, R. Paul?
Well, I will probably be proposing that it will be on probably September 17th.
Okay.
But we have
well,
to determine
hopefully at that,
that
point,
tonight.
Well, okay. So, because this has been something that I give Serene full props for this. This is something that was raised, and John Amell and I both have been for months drilling to try to get answers to this, and it was very difficult. And finally, we got spreadsheets, which we're going over now, but it does appear that there was a long spot at the time where they were not invoicing some of these.
Yes, I know that. I think it was during the major
COVID.
Part of the pandemic that they just said
yes.
They're not going to do that particular thing. And
well, that's unacceptable.
Yeah,
and I didn't
agree.
Know. I went to the tower, and I asked Jake to point out to me the subcarrier equipment, and they're like two VCRs about the same size. They were functioning, and here's the thing that is. Adds insult to injury, is we're paying $1,500, which is a bargain actually, a month, to have Jake Glantz, one of the best field engineers in radio, available 24/7. And he takes calls and maintenance calls from those subcarriers. So I want Pacifica to pick up that charge. Why should that be our business? Unless that revenue stays to help. I mean, this is the first time we've actually paid the tower after one of those massive pay downs, thanks to a bequest. I am trying to keep this balance down. And so I want that $7,500 to even go there so we don't rack up the interest charges.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, but maybe still you could talk to the executive director about.
Right. I also want to do something, though, that is not. So.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sounded like you dropped off there for a second.
Yeah, I told you, it's a very shaky line.
Right. Okay, are you finished?
Yeah, I'm whatever questions.
Okay. All right, I'm going to take a stack, folks. Say your name if you want to be on the stack.
This is Mario. Jack. Just one question.
Who else?
Jack.
Who else? Jack. Okay, Jack DePalma.
Mario.
Anybody else? Okay, let's start with Jack DePalma. Go ahead, Jack.
Thank you very much, Bob. Would you repeat? I think you said the UFT was giving.
Yes, $14,000 in four $3,500 increments. Yeah.
Yearly.
Yeah, they're committed to do that. It will be. There'll probably be something like, I know you do listen, and so you know that John Samerson ad that runs in the morning. You've heard that, right? The CWU.
Yeah, sure.
Sustaining.
Sure.
Right, right. So there'll be some version of that with Mulgrew. And so it's
wonderful.
And also, I mean, what I want to emphasize here is that I know that folks say they were concerned and that we would be in bed with the unions. But you know, Jack, that we had all of the candidates for president on our air. The people that were running against Mike Mulgrew came on at equal time.
I understand. That's incredible, to say the least. Just one little, did you have to work really hard at it? It seems like you had to do some heavy lifting. It wasn't all
well,
that hard.
There was, the challenge was we have become the place where the retirees that are fighting to hold on to their Medicare, we became the headquarters for them on the radio. And
indeed.
So there was a tension about the fact that we were providing air space and time to people that were challenging Michael Mulgrew's authority. But they came to see us as a civic space, as legitimately providing a platform that they could come and be respectfully treated, even though we had Marion Pizzatola, who was certainly whacking Michael Mulgrew every time she could.
Well done.
I will point out that I think it's good going both ways. It brings up stuff about unions per se to the general public, and the general public usually does not get that. So they're getting it on BAI, and at least that's one place where stuff can happen. And the fact that you give them two viewpoints is very good, because that shows that we're not just being a mouthpiece for something. We're saying, okay, we're talking about unions, and we're giving both sides of some issues when there are multiple sides of an issue in a union. So I think that adds to credibility both regarding the unions and for WBAI among listeners. Okay, that's all right. Next is Mario. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to point out, I was sitting and listening. I heard about a half a dozen numbers. So my first question is, what does that all total out to? I didn't write it down and add it up.
So which category are you looking for? New?
No, I mean you let us know about a half a dozen numbers there. 14,000 here, 65,000.
Yeah, well,
40
the nouns
something
matter.
Thousand.
Yeah, the nouns matter that are connected to the numbers. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I told you where we were in the month cycle. So I explained that we've made the payroll. We just came through that cycle. I explained that we made the payment for insurance, and that we also made a tower payment and have $65,000 in the bank.
Okay.
I
want to back up our pool, our chair here, and just say that the question was never answered. It would be nice if this was on the report, and so it would reflect on the report as well. Maybe a suggestion could be sending our poll a report from the New York office on what the New York office is doing, and then he could just add it in to what Stephanie sends him, if it's going to be monthly or something. That could be a suggestion. And we could still talk about it. That doesn't mean if it's on the report, you don't have to mention it. Of course, you should mention it in the meeting. That's what I had to say. The question wasn't answered about, hey, can we get it on a paper? Can we get it in a report? All these checks and the tabulations. All right. I don't know if there's a plan afoot to try to increase membership, which would increase the finances. You know, I'm connecting it that way. It is connected. It's not I'm connecting. It's connected. Increasing membership and listeners.
I'll let you finish because I had some responses.
Okay. I think that's it. If I think of something else, I could always get back
sure.
on.
Yeah, sure. Just so I think it was Jim Damien who pointed out, we were able to find out through resourcefulness that we have 130,000 listeners. That was confirmed by Nielsen. That
is that
threefold. The point one that we had when we last had information, I guess it was a few years back. And we're seeing major donations. We had this, I put this up and when we gave your printed report at the end of the year, major donations of $500 or more have increased threefold. And so that's one of the reasons why we haven't been able to, or had to lean on the other stations or the affiliates for money. And so, and we've seen an uptick. We're 1,100 BI buddies. We're at like 1,306, but the average donation BI buddy has jumped considerably. So there is movement here. And, you know, I think that is, and there's other indicia here. When Mayor Adams calls and asks me to go to Gracie Mansion to have a sit down, that means he thinks it's worth his time. So that's another indication. And the people that are coming on the air that are making contributions, all people from all kinds of walks of life and the new programming that we're doing. We've been doing new programming in a universe where public broadcasting is dying. And we're getting, you know, it's one of the things of Pacific affiliates, you should know, Ursula Rudenberg is, and it's not surprising, but NPR affiliates are now reaching out to the Pacifica affiliate network because the opportunity for $7,500, you can become a member of the Pacifica network and have access to hundreds and hundreds of hours of programming through audio porting. So in a strange way, this national crisis of public broadcasting is an opportunity for Pacifica.
Paul, can I follow up with a second?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm up in Woodstock now. That's where I am right now. And that's where I'm staying right now. Decided to move up there. So I hear the station up there. I tune into it. It's the one guy, I forgot his name, and he did talk about asking for some money. Asking for some money. I just lost my train of thought. All right. Well, another thing is that this cart that Stephanie made should be played on the affiliate stations. I haven't heard that on her station, on the station up there. They replay some of the shows and Amy Goodman throughout the day, but the guy who runs the station could pretty much do whatever he wants with the show.
He could put. He does have an LSB.
From what I understand, I don't think so. But I could find out.
Jesse, get one.
Yeah, I could find out.
Well,
that'll
make all the difference if he gets an LSB.
Hey, maybe I could be on the LSB
everything.
Up there.
Absolutely.
LSB up in 104.1. That's the numbers. 104.1. He also plays some Pacifica stuff and On the Ground, and it's the schedule's a little hard. It's like they play Gary Null at 4 p.m. and then replay it sometimes at 8 p.m. But then
that's
only.
Do you call in?
No, they don't. I don't think they have a call in. Some shows maybe. But from what I understand so far, the most of the station is on recording. But it's very they're very passionate about what they're doing. They play Judy Wood a lot. He plays Judy Wood talking about the towers. So it's an eclectic mix of from the recent past of BAI and then some new shows that keep going. Amy Goodman's replayed live and then replayed, I think, at noon or later on. Gary's not on 5 days a week, I don't think. And it's a mix. There was something else, but I forgot what I was going to say. But we got to get more listeners, and that just I just remembered. Howard Stern is his contract's up, but in the result of all that conversation, you find out that his 20 million listeners, which was in the heyday maybe 10 years ago or whatever, has dwindled down
to 125,000.
Yeah, to about 150,000,
125,000.
125,000. Yeah.
BAI has more listeners right now.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing. Now, let's say they exaggerated about the 20 mil. But, okay, so, but iHeart is claiming that they're looking for people to advertise on their network. And they're claiming that that they're doing better and okay. So they're saying there's more people listening now to radio. But, of course, it's through the cell phone, but it's radio.
Okay.
So,
I'm coming to the end of the line here, so I don't want to at some point lose you all.
Can I suggest we get back, if we're going to get it back, to WBAI and Pacifica and the stuff that relates to us?
Sure.
Yeah, that would be good, I think. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul, I just have, before the general manager leaves, can I just ask him a question?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes, hi. I just want to, you just said that that the Nielsen rating reported that WBAI has
130,000. That's right.
Okay. But my question to you, because this is what I read it somewhere. I don't know if it was from Jim Digman or somebody else sent some email that the reason that we couldn't get the numbers was because we owed the Nielsen some money and we weren't even paying for their report.
So I have chapter and verse here, folks. So we owed them $6,500. But what happened was, because I went up to the tower when we had the situation with the heat, which I discussed at length in one of our other meetings, Jake said to me, "Oh, look at this! Nielsen has an analog transmitter." Which, because Jake works for all the other radio stations, he said, that's out of date. They should have a digital transmitter to capture the data. And then we looked to see at 388 Atlantic Avenue, because we never stopped working, and we found they had an analog piece of technology tracking the streaming. And so Jake said, you know, if we volunteered to let them upgrade and we install it, they might shake loose the number of people listening. Without charging us at least this one time. And so we got the digital upgrade because it's in Nielsen's interest to know what our listeners are, even if we can't afford to find out. And so, sure enough, our gambit worked. And Dave Universal, vice president of Nielsen, said, you have 130,000 listeners of 0.3 cum, lots of money to be made! Exclamation point. I can send you the email. If you don't believe me, and you probably don't. And so it turns out.
No.
And it turns out that I had to tell him that we're a nonprofit station. And then he sent me to this consortium, which we owe the money to. So that's how we finagled the ratings, folks, without spending a dime.
By the way, I should point out for everyone that 130,000 figure is weekly. That's how many people you get over to court.
Thank you. That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, that's how that works. Okay.
Paul James here also, letting you know that I'm here
James
and that I want to ask Bob a question. I want to ask Bob a question if I may.
I heard somebody else too. I guess we're taking a fast stack and hoping the train doesn't come to a halt soon. Okay. James Sagerton, who else wants to ask a question?
Noel.
Noel. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. James Sagerton, go ahead fast.
Yeah, thank you. I think Jim Dingman was passing around a 1% cum that we were supposedly had for a long time, and I don't think he had any basis for that. So how do we know that our cum was 1% or 3% when we didn't actually have the numbers? I mean, I know now you got this momentary snapshot of where we are, but how do we know anything about what happened in the past? I mean,
so four years ago, they did have it like 4 years ago. I saw it was printed and it was circulated.
Yeah,
we did have a brief shining moment where
years,
it came up as 0.1. I saw it.
Yeah, but in the intervening years, we've got nothing, so we don't really know.
Well, I'm just saying. And, okay.
It's all good.
All I
it's
can
all
tell
good.
You, the people are calling. Okay. All right.
It's all good. The 0.3 is very good. I'm very glad to hear it. I hope we can get that up. I hope it stays up. But we also have to understand that you have 130,000 people listening, but a lot of those people are the same people because they're tuning in repeatedly over the period of a week. If you think how many times you tune in the station over a week, you have quite a few hits. And,
well, I think it may be just, I think that they're giving discrete, I think that's discrete listeners.
I don't know how they could be doing that with that analog machine.
Say,
by the way, I knew it was there. I'm surprised that Jake is surprised that it was there. I knew that was there.
No, it was the fact that it was analog and needed to be upgraded was the thing that he was new because we weren't paying attention to because we figured why ask?
Because we didn't have the money to pay.
Let me throw in a very fast technical thing. There is an extra signal. That's what that stuff does. That's a transmitter. It's an extra little piece of data that goes out on your FM signal. And the FM band is big enough that you could put a lot of stuff in there. And so there's an extra little, call it a tone, that when it shows up at one of the places where they're monitoring the person, they hear that. It's beyond being able to be heard.
I do want to stipulate also that there has been major debates about the undercounting of black and Latino households. And this is something that's been all in the trades. And there's a tremendous controversy by experts that low-income households are systematically undercounted in the analytic analysis. So they're interested in people that can buy Viking cruises.
Yeah.
And so that's
right.
A bias
that's
in this data.
That there's lots of money to be made. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been something that's been going on since they started doing that stuff. And we've had these debates at PAI forever. So, all right. James, is your question answered?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Noel, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Henley, thank you very much for your efforts. I'm greatly appreciative of you taking the time to give the report, and it all sounds very positive. I will say that, you know, from my perspective, as relatively new but still at it for nearly 15 years or more, what I'm hearing with respect to disclosure of the financial information really hasn't changed whether there's been feast or famine, at least at WBAI, and I would say at Pacifica also. And I guess my question specifically is, given that we're discussing getting an income statement, which in no way could convey in any sense of the word financial condition by itself, what do you see the role of the finance committee and or how does National see the role of the finance committee? Because if you can't be proactive in suggestions because you don't have information proactively and you don't get full information to do analysis, what is the role? What is it to be accomplished given the resources? And I'm not saying their resources are lacking because of you. I'm just saying systemically it seems that we've not been able to get it together.
So I would say that I don't like whatever is in the national board. It seems that they are in a phase of trying to. Because again, I don't have a horse in that race. I'm busy trying to do what I can to keep the station on, to bring in as much support, both financial and in terms of bringing new talent in and finding, making sure that it's accessible to people in the community and that we hear diverse voices. And so, but as far as what I would see is I maybe have a little bit of a conventional, role, having been involved with WNYC and WBGO, I could see you guys as actually helping with fundraising, like physically identifying, going out and raising money. So I wouldn't be so lonely. That's what I would see is like, but no, that's just my experience in being involved with other boards and nonprofits. That's usually what folks do is, come up with and execute on fundraising, actual raised dollars.
So the pivot from really the analyzing and the going over the, I was sitting through budget meetings and I fully understood it didn't make any difference at the local level because there wasn't always appreciation of what a negative variance would mean or variance would mean. I understand it fully that now, what it meant in terms of central services and the like, and it's coming or has come home to roost. So going forward, it's really fundraising that we could be the most effective and efficient.
And identifying, like, for instance, we've been working very closely. There's some, we got the New York Theater Workshop came and did a $2,000 PSA to advertise the Nat King Cole musical. And that was somebody, one of our producers. So that kind of connection that someone has in the nonprofit world can result in building a relationship with a nonprofit and revenue for the station.
All right.
Are you done?
I appreciate that. And it sounds like that may be, I don't know all of the models, so I would be looking for help in terms of where I could fit in, on that basis.
Okay. All right. Let me say fast here. Mr. Henley, you should understand that when the bylaws were redone in the year 2000 into 2003, the big thing was the LSBs would not be made up of well-off people. They would be a board of the community, and they would not have to be raising money. It was specifically made so that who had connections to people for money would not be dominant on boards. So, as a result, you have, in some cases, a bunch of paupers in there.
How does that work out?
You're looking at it.
What I'm saying to you is that relationships are not the same thing. What I said to you very particularly was that person didn't bring me money. They had a relationship with a nonprofit, and so we were able to work that through. So people, irrespective of resources, do have social and political connections that can be put in the service of the network.
Or some of us only know other paupers. And no, I was talking about before, you were saying, boards raising money. The reason the board doesn't raise money is because it can't. It mostly doesn't know how. And the reason is that's who's supposed to get elected to it. I wasn't involved in making those bylaws. So anyway, are there any other questions for the interim general manager for his train docs? All right. I don't hear any. Mr. Timekeeper, how are we on time?
Thank you.
How much?
Thank you. Congratulations.
One second.
Mr. Timekeeper, how much time left?
1 second.
Seconds. All right. I'm gonna say we're done here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're done. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henley. And our next item on the agenda is set next meeting date. And let me look at the meeting dates. Okay. I'll make a motion. We meet on September 17th. That would be in the usual, month from now. Okay. September 17th. Okay. So the motion is to meet next on September 17th at 7 p.m. here on Maestro. Is there any debate on this motion? Is there any objection to passing the motion to meet next on Wednesday, September 17th at 7 p.m.? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. We're in new business. Does anybody have any new business to bring? If not, somebody
said,
might want to make
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry, Paul. You said September 17th?
September. 1 month,
yes.
About a month from now.
Yes.
About 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, I know. September 17th. Oh, that's fine. I won't be here, but it's okay. I will send you.
Okay. You should write in and ask for an excused absence. You can do that right after this meeting if you want.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
Does somebody want to make a motion to adjourn? Okay,
Paul?
I will. Yes?
Paul? This is Kim. I have a question.
Oh, okay. All right, Kim, go ahead.
I have actually two questions. One, in the bank statements, did you find that $220,000 bequest? And
no.
Two, that's weird.
It wouldn't be in that. This, I think, came after that.
Because it was 24 that it came in.
Well, let me go look at this again right here. There was one that was pretty big. There was one that was bigger than the others, but I don't think it was big enough to be 220 on top of the usual other stuff. I'm looking right now, and okay, for June of 25, I have June of 25 has 272 coming on, but that's June of 25, not sometime in 24.
Right.
That was the biggest one I saw.
Still weird that, you know, there's $220,000 that can't be accounted for. My other question
this
is
a problem.
Yeah.
Among others.
My other question is, now, you talked about it today, and it was talked about at the MFC, but nobody mentioned any real numbers for KPFK. How are they doing? What is their revenue for the year? What are their expenses? Are they breaking even or running a deficit, or what's the key on it?
Yeah, I think we mentioned some numbers, didn't we? Part of this is, the whole thing is preliminary. And, you know, these are not, we're doing the budget. No, we're talking about doing the budget.
I understand. It's all smoke and mirrors.
It's nebulous as hell.
What?
It's nebulous as hell.
Yeah,
what
smoke and mirrors.
What does this have to do with BAI's finances?
Well, this has to do with BAI's finances because this whole thing is related. If KPFK, we had a point where WBAI was getting money from other stations to help us out, KPFK suddenly cratered, and it was quite sudden, I have to say. And, you know, that made things worse because now you had two stations that were in bad shape. In terms of central services, the last time we got reports on that, both KPFK and WBAI were not doing well with central services fees. I think WBAI is doing better. I don't know about KPFK. Some of what's happening here is this deal of a preliminary look at a budget. And none of those numbers are even expected to be really real. So we're not doing the budget. My concern is something like that is going to get shoved in as a budget.
WBAI is the only station that didn't pay central services. The NFC received
who's this?
Income statements through the first quarter of 2025.
Who's speaking? Somebody's telling us something. I don't know who that is. That's not Kim, right?
No, not me.
All right. Well, you know what? You don't have to identify yourself. So why don't we let Kim finish and then the unknown caller can say something, all right? Kim, are you done or
no.
You want more? Or?
Yeah, no. Even if they're preliminary, they're always preliminary until the audit is done. But
yeah.
Even if they're preliminary, can you give a top-line number?
Can I give?
Yeah, you got the statement.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll scream at me if I do that. Let me look.
What does
it
have to do with WBAI? This is inappropriate.
Who's that? Somebody's objecting and saying this is inappropriate.
He's objecting and he's not saying his name, so that is very rude.
No. See, the thing is, you don't have to identify yourself, and I just want to get this done with Kim here, and see.
Yeah, but then he should have butt in. Then you just do the thing with.
Yeah, somebody is butting in, and they should wait a second, and not just butt in. So let me see what we have. I think we mentioned this. It's projecting. Let me scroll up. It's projecting a year-to-date actual is 179 in the black. That was mentioned during the thing. It's showing that I'm just drawing this up here, not being able to get to, yeah. 179 in the black for FY25 so far. All right, unknown caller. You wanted to say something.
179,000.
Yes, in the black.
Oh, I know why. Because they got a bequest. They got a bequest of about 300 something. So
They're
actually not, you know, just operations. They would not be in a surplus. I just want to say, I'm sorry to interrupt people, but you should have at least, you know, a passing interest in the other stations because it does affect WBAI how the other stations are going. That's all. Thank you, R. Paul.
Okay. All right. Other
person. Mario to the stack.
Hold on, Mario. Somebody wants to talk. They don't want to give us their name, but they can do that. So, unknown caller, go ahead.
The NFC has received income statements through the first quarter of 2025. I would suggest you check your email. The issues with the CTV do impact Pacifica because the community service grants and CPP also provide us with very low royalty rates for our music programming. So you could be indifferent, but it will impact us if
they
don't support public radio, we will be impacted.
They don't. They
okay.
don't. We
okay.
we're
Kim, please come to order.
Down.
Kim, hold on, please. All right. I have to tell you, we actually had a bit of a discussion about this before. We have not seen a first quarter of FY25. I've talked about this. We ain't got it. The last thing we got is the FY24 one.
Well, I sent
that's
it to you.
Formally
you
there.
Got
now,
it.
Now
you got
hold on. Jeez, please. Will everybody please let me finish? Now, we have seen some of the stations showing up with some numbers that they have that are being deemed unreliable, essentially. And that's different from getting an actual income statement. An income statement isn't like one number. An income statement is kind of comprehensive. Here's where the money came in, here's where the money went out, and it's a lot of lines in a spreadsheet, not just one. And so, I watch my email, and I do not have, and nobody else on the FSC, or nobody else has received on the NFC mailing list a first quarter FY25 income statement. I mean, some of the stations are coming in with these preliminary budgets, and they have numbers for FY25, but you know, they're not considered to be terribly reliable. So I stick by saying we have not gotten an income statement really since the end of FY24. Okay? Okay. All right. Is there anybody else who has anything else?
Mario.
Mario.
I just want to remind everybody that supposedly we're only paying the interest by a state building, and that's not reflected on the report, as I asked you earlier, in the written report by Stephanie. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's just under $2 million that's owed to this nonprofit. I believe it's a Jewish organization. And I asked a question, and I believe that they are sympathetic to Israel. And so this is something that people should know. We should try to get rid of that. You know, I think they're a pro-Israel organization, and we took money from them.
All right.
Get out of the Empire State Building, which is run by American Jews. So I'm
all
not
right,
making this
enough of that. Enough
thing.
Of that,
I'm
Mario.
Saying, I'm just,
no, you're saying, okay, Mario. I'm going to shut you down if you do
all
some
right,
more of that
okay.
crap.
All right. Well, nobody answered my question if they are pro or not. So all right, whatever.
Mario, you know that is a kind of litmus thing that we need to stay away from. We've got enough stuff. All right. Let's not get into that.
Okay. Right.
Maybe this is a
all
time
right. well,
for something else. You know what? I'm going to make a motion to adjourn. So
okay.
I move to adjourn. Is there any objection to adjourning? If somebody objects, we'll have a vote. Is there any objection to adjourning? Hearing none. The motion to adjourn passes. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all, and we'll
see you
next week, next month rather, not next week, and we'll see how things go. And thank you, Otis, for streaming us, and thank you, Mr. Henley, for coming to the meeting, and thanks everybody else for coming. Good night.